Hello, everyone. Welcome. Here. We're trying to get the echo off. Can you hear the echo? Yeah, there's an echo. Let's see. Hold on. Okay. Nope, that's still on. We're trying to work, guys, with the echo here. Let's see. Echo cancellation is on. I'm going to try. Okay, hold on. Hold on here. Okay. Is all right, we got it. I fixed it. Praise God. Yep, I just switched the microphone real quick and switched it back. So praise the Lord. Welcome to everyone jumping in and around the world. Today is October 13th, 2025. We had a little echo. I sounded like I was in an echo chamber there for a minute, but we're all fixed now. So welcome to everybody jumping in. We're so happy to have you with us. People going, oh, good, it's fine. Yep, it's better now. Yep, praise God. You're not hearing like three of me right now. You're only hearing one of me. So welcome to everybody coming in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us. I see people coming in from Kansas, Western Massachusetts. There is Esther in the background already getting her fall cozy on to get her little spot while we do the broadcast here. Let's see who else is coming on. All right, I see... Let's see here. I'm going down to Texas. God bless you in Texas. Ormond Beach, Florida. Hello. We're so happy to have you. Multiple Floridas coming in. Our neighbors in Newstead, New York. Very happy to have you with us as well. North Dakota as well. Praise the Lord. New Jersey. Hello to our wonderful neighbors in New Jersey. Oklahoma, Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome. I see Alabama coming in as well. Warrior, Alabama. Hello to our wonderful friends in Warrior, Alabama. Very happy to have you with us. Georgia, God bless you. Hello. I see Gilroy, California, Springfield, Oregon. Hello. God bless you. Baytown, Texas. God bless Texas. We love the people of Texas. South Dakota as well. Toronto, Canada. Hello to our wonderful neighbors in Canada. God bless you. The Canadians, they have something called poutine up there, which apparently is French fries, cheese curds, and brown gravy. So if none of you knew that, I'm giving you an educational food lesson right now. About one of the national dishes of Canada. Hello to those in West Virginia, in Michigan as well, Mississippi, Cape Cod, welcome, welcome, Tennessee, welcome. I see many of you coming in from Florida as well. Lots of Floridas, multiple Tennessees, Washington State, God bless you. Hello to our international audience that is coming in as well. I'm looking at the chat. As we are continuing, Manitoba, Canada, welcome. Very happy to see you as well. And hello, hello to everybody else coming in. We're very happy to have you. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. New Zealand, just saw New Zealand coming. Hello to our friends across the world in New Zealand. Now, we have a lot. There's a lot going on, guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up in prayer. There's a lot to get into, prophetically speaking, of what has happened today. What has happened on October 13th, 2026, between the hostage release, what happened in Israel, what's going on in Egypt, how it affects this nation. So we're going to get into all of that. So we're going to open up in prayer first, and then we are going to prophetically, there's some things that are going to blow your mind prophetically tonight that I'm going to talk about with all of this. So let's open up in prayer, give it over to the Lord, and we'll get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father. Ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. Father, we all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God. We praise you, Lord, that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly died at Calvary. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed, Father. And we legally apply that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father God, that Jesus Christ, when he said, it is finished, he paid the price in full. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness before all of creation. He descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death. He victoriously and miraculously rose again. He ascended back into heaven where he is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names. And our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory, your power, your dunamis power mightily go forth. Father God, let your truth, your might go forth. Father God, let people tangibly feel your presence as we go forth tonight. Father, let the Holy Spirit go forth and be the counselor and minister to those, Father God, who are watching tonight, Lord. We ask you go before us, Father God. You be our front and rear guard. You fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Order our steps, order my words tonight, Father, as we go forth mightily in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Lord, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, the perimeter of this property, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, as we go forth tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, witchcraft, curse, spell, incantation, sorcery, and any other form of weaponized demonic activity right now, and command in the name of Jesus Christ it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, and most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father. Lord, we praise you, Father God, that every breath comes from you. You are Yahweh. You are the breath. You are holy. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are he who liveth and died, and behold, you are alive forevermore. Father, we praise you because you are our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our heads, that the eyes of the Lord are upon us and his ears are open to our cry. When we cry out, the Lord hears and delivers us from all our troubles, Father God. Lord, we just apply Psalm 91 as well right now, Father God, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we shall and will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will say of the Lord, he's our refuge and our fortress, our God. In him will we trust. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler, Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Take all the glory for yourself in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I felt that. I felt the presence of the Lord moving. Praise the Lord. Okay. Welcome to everybody jumping on. If you could share this broadcast, we would very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. It helps us a great deal. We are going to be announcing the lineup thus far towards the end of the broadcast for the night of prayer. So we have more speakers confirming, but boy, do we have an incredible lineup that is shaping for this. So we will get into all of that in a little bit. I wanted to thank some people quickly as people are jumping on, and we're going to get into what has happened today. I just want to thank Sabrina McDonald. She sent her book, The Bible, Politics, and Culture, A Biblical Worldview Guide for Christian Women. I actually have an endorsement that was written in this book. So thank you so much, Sabrina, for sending that. I so appreciate it. What I'm about to show you is incredible. Hold on. Let me show you. Let me get the card out because you might want one. Fran Nelson made this. She does leather design, and she actually made this incredible journal for me, which I will be using, Fran. It is beautiful. If you want one, she doesn't know I'm about to do this, but Jackson Creek Leather, Fran Nelson. You can, on Instagram, she is at Jackson Jackson Creek, Creek Leather. So on Instagram, she's at Jackson Creek Leather, and you can reach out to her. Fran, this is beautiful. And I will use this. This will be with me. So thank you. Thank you so much. So I have that. And then Lorraine J. Taylor. Miss Lorraine, put this in a bow. I'm going to unbox it live. She made the most incredible quilt that's got tractors and farm animals and all sorts of amazingness. What a talent. And on the back, more animals. Would you like to see the back? I'll show you the back. More animals on the back. So it is absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. We will be using this at the new property as well. We just are so touched, and we have such a talented group of viewers. I'm just amazed at the incredible talents that Almighty God has given all of you, and that you would even just you would even just look in our direction and bless us with such things. So thank you so, so much. I can, you know, I like when I can and I'm able to thank our viewers for what they send, because it's just absolutely amazing. Okay, let's get into today. Boy, is there a lot going on. So today, Monday, October 13th, which by the way is the 21st of Tishri on the Jewish calendar, it's Tishri 21, 5786. I just want to tell you in history what has gone on with this date. So in 1792, October 13, 1792, the cornerstone of the White House was laid in Washington, D.C. Isn't that interesting? The cornerstone was laid of the White House. And interestingly enough, October 13th, 1943, Italy declared war on Germany during World War II because alliances were shifting. Isn't that interesting? Because that's kind of what we're watching happen as well. So as you have all seen, the hostages were released. I don't know if we can get up an article real quick for that. I forgot to include one. But the hostages, all 20 remaining hostages that are alive, were indeed released today. It is a historic day. It is an incredible day for this to be happening. And this goes way deeper than you think, prophetically speaking. And we're going to get into all of that in just a moment here. Yep, they're getting up an article so we could show it. I forgot to include it in the notes. I watched the New York Post, though, the video of the Red Cross going into Gaza and going and getting the hostages and bringing them out. It was quite sobering to watch Hamas standing there with machine guns and their green headbands and watching the hostages leave. Tearful reunions as living Israeli hostages and some Palestinian prisoners are freed. So they were freed today, October 13th, 2025. Now, let me tell you why. This is so prophetic and profound. 9/11 is in the date today. You have 10, 13, 2025. You have the one from the 10, the one from the 13, and 2 + 2 + 5 is 9. So 9/11 is actually in the date of the day the hostages were released. October 13th is also the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, where it is celebrated the Jews' exodus out of Egypt and out of captivity. So that's what's incredible too, is they are released on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles celebrate the Jews being delivered from the captivity of Egypt, and these talks to free these hostages and to try to end this war happened in Egypt, where Israel had to go back to Egypt, go back to the original place, the ground zero of the captivity and slavery of the Jews, go back to face off again against one who held them in captivity, just like Moses had to go back. Moses was sent back by God into Egypt to face off against Pharaoh to free the Jews from their captivity. So the talks happened in Egypt, and then the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates the deliverance out of Egypt and out of captivity, that is the day that the Jews these hostages are released. Now, you have the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles intersecting with 9/11 being in this date after talks in Egypt, which are the original ground zero for Let My People Go, the epic showdown between Pharaoh and Almighty God through Moses being sent back, the place where the Jews were freed from their captivity. And after that meeting, the 20 remaining hostages that were alive were freed by Hamas. Now, let me talk about this, because there's 20 of them that were freed. So we have 20 hostages that were freed, and there's some interesting implications with this. So let me go to Exodus 20 first. So 20 hostages freed alive, October 13th. Exodus 20, verses 2 through 3. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's Exodus 20. Now, Exodus 20, verses 2 through 3. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Also along with this, a 20-point peace plan. Now, who went in to get them but the Red Cross? The Red Cross, Yeshua HaMashiach. Think about this, the symbolism here. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, hung on a blood-stained cross. That is who went in and actually got the hostages out. So the symbolism here is very interesting. Also, October is the 10th month on our calendar. Daniel, and it's the 10th month and the 13th day on our calendar, right? It's the 21st of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. So 10th month, 13th day. This is what Daniel 10:13 says. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. So I was with the, he was praying, Daniel. He was waiting 21 days for an answer. When Gabriel arrives, he said the prince of Persia was standing in opposition to him for 21 days. And then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help him in order to remove the opposition of the king of Persia. That is Daniel 10:13, right? But it says, which stood 21 days. Today happens to be the 21st of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. So you have Daniel 10:13. You have the number 21. Today happens to be Tishri 21 on the Jewish calendar. Now, that's all prophetic in itself and historic and incredible the way this is all shaping up. However, there's another piece to this. So the fact that date has 9/11, the fact they're released the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it celebrates the deliverance from the captivity out of Egypt, and the meetings were in Egypt between Israel and Hamas to get the hostages freed. All of that is incredible, but we're going to put up an article here because there's more to this. There's actually more. Okay. Cyrus the Great is alive. Why Israelis see an ancient Persian king in Trump? Israelis have likened Donald Trump to the ancient Persian ruler Cyrus the Great, celebrating him as a modern-day liberator who, like Cyrus, ended the Jewish exile in Babylon and has restored Israel's fortunes through his decisive action. Now, it says, amid a wave of euphoria following the successful Gaza ceasefire and the return of the last hostages, Israel greeted U.S. President Donald Trump with an extraordinary form of admiration, a comparison to the ancient Persian ruler Cyrus the Great. Billboards and signs across Jerusalem and Tel Aviv proclaim Cyrus the Great is alive, in a symbolic tribute to the visiting U.S. president. Now, let me tell you why this is You're going to see why this is so prophetically significant. But we're going to go to Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that is the first year he ruled Babylon, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord stirred up and put in motion the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. So the first year of Cyrus, this is the first year Trump is in office as the 47th president of the United States, right? The Lord stirs the spirit of Cyrus to put forth a proclamation. In the first year, he puts forth a 20-point peace agreement to rebuild Gaza and to end the war. Now, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 9 through 11, 9/11, and being that we're in the year 2025 and the date the hostages were released equals 9/11, this is what it says. Behold, hear this, I will send for all the families of the north, says the Lord, and I will send for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land will be a waste and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied that the Jewish people would be held captive in Babylon for 70 years. This prophecy was fulfilled when Cyrus, king of Persia, conquered Babylon and allowed the Jews to return to their homeland. Now, Jeremiah 25, 12 through 14. Then when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, says the Lord, for their wickedness, and will make the land of the Chaldeans a perpetual waste. I will bring on that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, and all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them, even the Chaldeans who enslaved other nations. And I will repay all of them according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hands. Now, why am I saying this? 70 years. This is where prophetically this is amazing. 70 years ago from 2025 would be 1955, because certain things that happen throughout history have a biblical pattern to it. 70 years from 2025 would be 1955. Let me tell you what happened in 1955. Israel acquired four of the seven Dead Sea Scrolls, which contains the book of Isaiah, who mentions King Cyrus by name. Okay, so it acquires in 1955 four of the seven scrolls, 47. 70 years later, the 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who has just been compared to a Cyrus, who in his first year has freed the hostages from their captivity and allowed them to return home through a proclamation, just as Cyrus did. That is 70 years from the date four of the seven, 47 Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and President Trump is the 47th president of the United States. That is not coincidence. That is prophetic. These are the prophetic patterns that these things tend to follow. And we just have to pay attention in this time with everything that is happening. It is historic. It is prophetic that these things keep happening the way they're happening. Now, Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 7, because he was also the 45th president. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to King Cyrus of Persia, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will ungird the loins of kings, disarming them, to open doors before him so the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you Cyrus the Great by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and of Israel, my chosen, I have also called you by your name. I have given you an honorable name, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God except me, and I will embrace and arm you, though you have not known me. that people may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one except me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 7, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing peace and creating disaster. I am the Lord who does all these things. That is incredible, especially Isaiah 45:1. This is what the Lord says to his anointed Cyrus, king of Persia, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him. And I will ungird the loins of kings, disarming them to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. What are they doing? They're putting forth this peace plan to disarm Hamas. The Lord has called Trump to give a proclamation in a way similar to how Cyrus did in order to send the Jews back from their captivity. And it is very similar. It is incredible what is happening. And Isaiah 45:13, because today is October 13th, 2025, the day the hostages have been released and the day Trump travels to Israel and speaks at the Knesset in Israel while they have billboards saying Cyrus the Great is alive as an ode to President Trump. Isaiah 45:13 says, I have stirred up Cyrus and put him into action in righteousness to accomplish my purpose. And I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and let my exiles go without any payment or reward, says the Lord of hosts. Do you know why this is so prophetic for President Trump? I'm going to tell you a few. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to tell you why. Isaiah 45:13, today is October 13th, 2025. I have stirred up Cyrus and put him into action in righteousness to accomplish my purpose. And I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and let my exiles go. What are they trying to accomplish with this? Rebuild Gaza and set the captives free, the 20 hostages that remain alive that were let go today. And let my exiles go without any payment or reward. He's president for like a dollar. He had to take something, so he took a dollar. He does not take a salary for being, so he's rebuilding the city and letting the exiles go without any payment or reward. This is prophetic how all of this is aligning in this time. And this is why I believe the Lord, before all of this transpired, ordained the night of prayer to be October 17th. And we'll get into that in a moment. But like the way all of this is aligning prophetically is incredible. And on top of it, you've got October 10th. You have October 13th, 2025. 9/11 is in the date. The one from the 10, the one from the 13. 2 + 2 + 5 = 9. The hostages are released on 9/11, right? Now, I'll tell you something else too. I'll tell you something else that is quite profound about this. They're released on 9/11, right? On a date that equals 9/11, on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles that celebrates the deliverance out of Egypt from being captives. And that's where they negotiated to set the captives free, was in Egypt. But there's something else to this as well. Now, when October 7th, 2023 happened, it was the day after Yom Kippur. It was actually the day after the 50-year celebration of the Yom Kippur War. It was the day after the Jubilee and the Yom Kippur War that this attack happened. Yom Kippur has to do with atonement and with repentance and with Almighty God judging the nations. That's when Israel is attacked. When they're freed and an agreement comes is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates the deliverance from captivity and the exodus out of Egypt. This is prophetic and aligning with the Jewish calendar, how all of this has taken place. And this is by no accident that this is taking place the way it is. And now President Trump is traveling to Egypt for a Gaza summit, with the other world leaders of the Middle East. In fact, the president of Turkey, he heard that Netanyahu might be attending. He refused to land his plane. He refused to come and land his plane as long as Netanyahu was attending. And apparently Netanyahu did not attend. And finally, the president of Turkey, who was throwing an enormous tantrum, finally, I guess, landed his plane and came. But once again, it's in Egypt. This all keeps going back to Egypt. I'm telling you, keep your eyes on Egypt rising up in the middle of this. I'm also going to tell you something else to keep your eyes on. Russia. I'm going to tell you why. Russia does not want this war to end in Gaza and Israel. In fact, if we could find this news article, multiple Qatari officials were suddenly killed in a car accident in Egypt. Just as these talks were beginning. That is not an accident either. I'm telling you right now, Russia does not want this war to end. They don't want it to end because if this war ends, all eyes of the world community are going to move on Putin and Zelensky to end their war. Saying, well, if Israel and Hamas could end their war, why can't you end your war? And so what's going to happen is with the Israel-Hamas war going on, Putin's got the world a bit distracted, and Putin and Zelensky are continuing to go at it. When this ends, the pressure internationally goes to Russia now. Now goes to Russia. Now, all of a sudden, the international community isn't so concerned about Gaza anymore, isn't so concerned about Israel and Hamas fighting anymore, isn't so concerned about the Palestinians anymore, and it all shifts to Russia. An enormous pressure then comes down on Russia in order to end that war. Russia does not want this war to end. Do we have an article? Thank you. Three Qatari officials die in car crash in Egypt before Gaza summit, which is interesting because I believe the peace talks were 3 days. So I think that's fascinating. But these Qatari officials were mysteriously killed in a car crash in Egypt as the country prepared to host a Gaza peace summit led by President Trump and President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt. That is a mouthful. So they're calling it, quote, a painful traffic accident that apparently happened by the Red Sea. Isn't that interesting? Because that's where the showdown between Almighty God and Pharaoh and his army happened, was at the Red Sea. So it's just interesting that the Red Sea is mentioned in the middle of this, and that this happens while they were trying to broker a ceasefire. I am telling you, there are other nations there that are stirring the pot, that are covertly in Egypt and around, that do not want this war to end. I am telling you, Putin does not want this war to end because all pressure and all eyes then go on Putin. So he wants this to continue as a distraction. He wants the international community in the United States to be all wrapped up with this, because the second they're not, it's all going to shift to him. So watch Russia in the middle of this and the moves they make. I'm telling you now, watch Russia. President Trump is even considering sending Zelensky Tomahawk missiles in the middle of this, which I believe Putin said would be a direct act of war. And so watch Russia and Putin and the maneuvers that are made and the mysterious incidents that occur, that some of them are going to tie back to Russia and their intelligence. I'm telling you right now. So just keep that in mind, because Zelensky's making money off this war too. So I'm telling you, they don't want this to happen, because then the international community is going to say, if Israel and Hamas can do this, what's your excuse? And that's where we're going to shift next. So I'm just telling you prophetically to watch this and keep your eyes on the Russia, Zelensky, Putin, triangle, craziness that's going on over there. Because there's going to be a shift, and there is a historic shift happening, and it's still the year of the snake. Remember, at the beginning, towards the end of January, on the Chinese calendar, it became the year of the snake, right? Just keep watch, all right? Because there are serpents moving about. And just be in prayer. But the fact Egypt is the focal point is no accident prophetically of these talks and what is happening. So that's another one to keep your eyes on. Egypt, its leadership, and how they rise up. And I'm telling you, a Joseph will arise in Egypt once again to help lead. A Joseph will arise in Egypt once again to help lead. I'm telling you that prophetically now, and praise the Lord for that. So keep all that in mind, because there's a lot unfolding with this, and there is rapid fire happening one after the other. I will tell you, it is a treacherous time we are entering for the leadership of the United States of America. I'm not saying it's going to be a long window, but I'm saying what is just accomplished here. There are the underbellies of other nations and their intelligence services, and the underbellies of the corrupt and the globalists that do not want to see this, and that watching the leadership of the United States accomplish this, I am telling you, you need to intercede and pray for them, because they are entering a time where they will be targeted to try to stop this from being finalized. And they will be targeted once they turn to the Russia-Ukraine issue as well, after they get this done. So we need to pray, because we're entering a window that we really need to pray for the leadership of the United States of America. We really need to pray for members of the cabinet of the United States of America. This Acts timeline is still in play right now. And we need to, as the church, intercede and use the power we have given through Christ Jesus to trample upon serpents, snakes, and scorpions, and against all the power of the enemy, so nothing shall by any means hurt us. We need to do that, because we are at a point and we are at a precipice where the enemy's interests in the Middle East, there's pressure upon them, where Ishmael is attempting to rise up and take over areas of our nation, where Qatar, something is going on with Qatar, with them building some type of base, or something going on where the Defense Department made a deal with Qatar and they're building some type of training facility. And what I will say about that is Matthew 4, verses 24 through 27. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came and the wind came and beat upon that house, and the house stood because it was built upon the rock, and the floods came. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Upon the sand. Don't make the nations of sand your cornerstone for anything in this nation. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the house collapsed, and great and complete was its fall. Matthew 4 is the warning on how to deal with the nations built on sand in the Middle East for 2025 to 2027. Because 2026 is the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and that is the year we have our midterms. It is all prophetically aligning. So I'm going to, I briefly heard about this. I'm going to look more into this as well with Qatar, with some agreement to have some sort of training. Agreement with the Defense Department, but there's something going on here, and you have to be careful. No house in this nation is built upon sand, because the rain will come and the floods will come and the wind will come. And what happens in verse, hold on, I'm going to get it up for you for a minute. Hold on, because I want to get this right. It's Matthew 4. I know that. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. It's not Matthew 4. I think it's Matthew 24. Wait a second. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to find it here. Hold on. Because I want to get this right for you, and I want to give you... Okay. I know. Matthew 7, that's it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It's not Matthew 4, it's Matthew 7. I was off by three chapters, but I knew it was right around that vicinity. Okay, so Matthew 7. Let's read it, because the wording of this is quite profound. Okay. Verse 24, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25, and the rain fell and the floods came and the torrents came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 27, and the rain fell and the floods came and the torrents came. So it's identical to verse 25 in the first half of it. And the winds blew and slammed against that house. Identical, except the outcomes are vastly different. And it fell, and great and complete was its fall. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. That is the warning for the midterms. That is the warning with how you deal with the nations built on sand in the Middle East. That is the warning, because we are watching all of these things unfold at a rapid, rapid pace. And prophetically, it's quite amazing. I praise God. I give him all the glory that these hostages were released. Praise Almighty God that these hostages, these 20 remaining hostages, were released. Finally, and they are in the care of an Israeli medical center in Israel. All glory be to God that he freed them on the Feast of Tabernacles on a day that equals 9-1-1. That should be the warning right there too. The warning of their release and the day equaling 9-11 should be the warning to us that the serpent is now going to rear up for a strike. That should be our warning to intercede and pray. So keep that in mind as well, because prophetically, there is a lot unfolding at a rapid pace. Okay, I want to go over a few things because we have Dinesh D'Souza coming on. I interviewed Dinesh D'Souza. He's also going to be part of the night of prayer. So this is going to be incredible. So we have him coming on in just a few minutes. I interviewed him. We're going to play it for you. But this Friday, October 17th, 2025, live. Night of prayer for the nation, the Trump administration, and the Kirk family. It's going to be live on our Ark of Grace Ministries platforms. It's going to be live on Elijah Streams, on LFA, Jeremy Harrell's channel on Rumble. It's also going to be live on the Thrive Time Rumble channel, Clay Clark's channel. So we're going live on many platforms, praise God. And I want to read to you the lineup. It's starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So mark your calendars. We do have other speakers confirming, but I want to read to you who is confirmed so far for the night of prayer. We have Roger Stone, Eric Stockelback, Donna Clement, Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Sam Edwards, who's my pastor, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Troy Black, Gene and Terry Bailey of Flashpoint, Danny Gokey, Robin Bullock, Clay Clark, and Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer of the White House Office of Faith, Eric Mertaxas of the Liberty Commission attached to the White House, as well as Dinesh D'Souza. They are all confirmed for the night of prayer. We have a few other speakers confirming. When they confirm, we will announce. It's going to be an incredible, incredible, incredible. Now, it's amazing we got all these people together to do this. It is incredible. To God be all the glory, but we are entering a very serious night of prayer. I am telling you now, it's the gravity of it is the one that we did July 7th, 6 days before they attempted to assassinate President Trump. I am telling you, the Lord has impressed it upon me that this is the gravity that we are dealing with this night of prayer. And this night of prayer is going to disrupt and dismantle some attacks to take out leaders in this time. So the Lord has impressed this on me. So please join us live because the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man indeed availeth much. And when we come into agreement, even more so. So praise the Lord for that. So looking forward to that. That'll be Friday, this Friday, October 17th, 2025. There's something very prophetic about this date that I'm going to be sharing that night. Also, we have a new texting system, so don't be alarmed if you get text message updates from Amanda Grace. Don't be alarmed. It is us. We did implement a new texting system, so we just wanted to tell you that so people do not get worried. We want to be able to keep in touch with you. This is just another way we can keep in touch with our viewers. Also, update on Grace before we play Dinesh D'Souza. I saw Grace and Chris saw Grace over the weekend. She looks amazing. She is in a belly band. She is eating. She is doing fabulous. We are waiting to move her to the medical barn. Chris dressed as a cowboy to go see Grace. So it was kind of cute, but he did. He dressed as a cowboy to go see Grace. And so she will be moved, hopefully in the next week, to this medical barn that she will need to be at for 60 days in order to rehab. So thank you for all your prayers and all your help with Grace. If you would like to continue to do that, we have all the information on arcofgrace.org/events as well. If you'd like to continue to help with that, you can go there. So praise the Lord. And two more things, and then we'll put Dinesh on for you. It was an incredible interview with Dinesh, by the way. And I'm so glad he's doing the night of prayer. Incredible that he wants to do this. Praise the Lord. So Givaderm is having their closeout sale. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. If you buy one free scrub your ash off, you get a second free. So they are continuing this closeout special. And you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. And you can use that every single time. So we thank the ladies of Givaderm for that. You can combine our code with this closeout special. We're going to put up Andrew Sorcini too. I'll tell you why, because we're talking about Cyrus. And this is why the Lord prophetically had me create the Cyrus coin, had me create this when He had me do it, where it says Cyrus, faithful shepherd, and there's a picture of our German shepherd, Cyrus, at the sanctuary on it. And in God we trust, saving grace, and the ark with the dove, with the olive branch, returning to the ark, coming to rest on Mount Ararat after the storm. It is prophetic. You can reach out to Andrew. You can text him at 310-433-3524 or email him, andrew@bh-pm.com. He is knowledgeable and is teaming with all things gold and silver. Our Ark of Grace audience, reach out to him no matter what, because he is helping our audience whether you can meet the minimum or not. So just reach out to him today. Him and his team are wonderful with our viewers, and we're just very, very grateful for that. Okay, now, coming up, I had some time with Dinesh D'Souza, an incredible time with him, talking about the documentary, The Dragon's Prophecy. And given what has just happened in Israel, I think this is an incredible time to play this and to talk about this. And like I said, he will be joining us for the night of prayer for the nation, Trump administration, and the Kirk family. So I present to you now my time with Mr. Dinesh D'Souza. We'll be right back. Hello, hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here with you. Welcome, welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us today. Welcome to our Ark of Grace team as well. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We have an amazing guest who I'm going to bring in just a couple of minutes. Mr. Dinesh D'Souza is here to talk about the film, The Dragon Prophecy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a prayer real quick, because I always open in prayer. And then we're going to intro him in and we're going to bring him on to talk about this incredible film. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord, through your precious holy name. Father, we just acknowledge that your son Jesus Christ died for our sins. Right, he was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He miraculously rose again. He is ruling and reigning at your right hand forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, we just welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, order our words today. Order our steps, Father God, as we go forth mightily in you. Lord, we just ask you to take all the glory for yourself, Father God. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. We praise you and we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Dinesh D'Souza, but many of you already know who he is. Dinesh D'Souza is a best-selling author, political commentator, and filmmaker. He is known for creating powerful documentaries that explore the intersection of faith, history, and current events. His latest film, The Dragon's Prophecy, based on Rabbi Jonathan Cahn's best-selling book, delves into the biblical prophecy and its echoes into modern global events, including the October 7 attacks in Israel, tracing ancient conflicts and spiritual narratives into our world today. Dinesh D'Souza invites audiences to consider how faith, destiny, and the struggles of nations shape our generation. We are being called to engage not just as spectators, but as participants in God's unfolding story. Let's bring on Mr. Dinesh D'Souza.
Hey, Amanda, how are you? It's
how are you?
Wonderful to be joining you. And I'm very excited about this film, particularly kind of in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Yes. People have been talking about restoration, healing, spiritual renewal. And I want this film to be a part of that. It's very gritty in that it gets into current events. It doesn't hesitate to take on the critiques from the left, from the right. But at the same time, I think it tries to ascend above all that and connect politics to deeper moral and biblical and prophetic considerations that ultimately make this a battle for the human soul.
So let me ask you, the title itself, The Dragon's Prophecy, what does that represent to you, that title?
So the title is plucked out of the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, which describes a dragon. Mm-hmm. And the dragon represents the devil, Satan.
Yes.
And the dragon is at war with a woman representing Israel. And the woman is pregnant, representing the Messiah. And so you can see right here that we're talking ultimately about a great war raging. And the ultimate combatants are really God and Satan. But yes. Satan, of course, cannot overthrow God. So what Satan does is picks the things that are dear to God, important to God, and try to ruin them. Because Satan's idea is that by doing this, I get my revenge on God. So in the early books of Genesis, why does the serpent pick on Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve didn't do anything to the serpent, but the serpent goes, this is God's cherished creation. If I can ruin them, then I get the last laugh on God. And so what the film is, the idea it's planting for people to consider is the devil targeting the Jews because they are the chosen people of God? And is the devil also targeting the Christians because they are engrafted into the covenant? They are the spiritual Israelites, if you will. Mm-hmm. And if some people think, I mean, I don't think on your show, but think that this is just biblical speculation, look around the world. You see things are actually happening before our eyes. So the film is timeless in a way, but it's also very timely because it's describing clinically from October 7th onward a lot of the things that we can see in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of October 7th, and it not only being related to the history of the Bible, but is this something that's happened before?
Well, the first thing to say about it is that October 7th is unique in modern times, mm-hmm. because never before has there been an atrocity of this magnitude for which the people who did it are extremely proud of their achievements.
Yes.
And filmed it, live streamed it. There's a riveting scene in the film where a young boy who has just killed 10 Jews calls his parents to basically say how great it is. And his parents are cheering him on. Allahu Akbar. So mm-hmm. this is very strange. I mean, even the Nazis put the death camps outside of Germany. They had them in Poland, in the occupied mm-hmm. territories. They didn't want to show the German people what they were doing. And
exactly.
But Hamas, by contrast, did. Hamas was like, we have done this and we are proud of it. So that is kind of unprecedented. However, what Jonathan Cahn does is he says, look, in the modern age, that may be unprecedented. But if you go back to scripture itself, mm-hmm. 3,000 years ago, to the battles between the Israelites and the Philistines, you will find some very eerie parallels. Excuse me. And it's not just that the name Philistine and the name Palestine mm-hmm. are the same name, it's the same word transported through history. It is that the tactics of October 7th are right there in the Bible. And Khan gives the example of Samson, the hero of the Bible, yes. who represents the strength of Israel. Mm-hmm. Samson is captured by the Philistines. They blind him in much
yes.
the same way
they
that.
Out his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way Israel was blinded on October 7th. They drag him, the Bible says, to Gaza, which was one of the main cities of Philistia, the area of the Philistines. And then it says that the people of Gaza said, bring out Samson so that he might entertain us. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, after October 7th, the captives, the hostages are dragged out. They're stripped to the waist and they're paraded for people to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And again, Allahu Akbar. And the point that Khan makes, and he says this line in the film, he says that Samson 3,000 years ago was in a way the first hostage of Gaza. Now that's a mm-hmm. very like arresting statement, right? Mm-hmm. Because it takes October 7th and it elevates it beyond being just another terrorist attack. And so even a historic event, it makes it kind of a biblical event.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Let me ask you, how did the book and the way Rabbi Jonathan Cahn wrote the book shape you making this film?
Well, the film kind of came together in three parts. Mm-hmm. Initially, my wife and I went to Israel for the first time in 2022, and mm-hmm. I was exposed to biblical archaeology. Now, I've written three books on Christian apologetics, but I did not know the way in which on an almost weekly or monthly basis, artifacts are coming out of the ground. Coins, stone inscriptions, mm-hmm. monuments, clay seals. And what they're doing one after the other is they are verifying, corroborating, and authenticating the historicity of the Bible. And so
yes,
figures
yes.
that for many, many centuries, they were in the Bible, but they were only in the Bible. Think of a person like Pontius Pilate or Caiaphas, the high priest, or even the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, or going further back, King David. These figures have now jumped out of the Bible and into the pages of history via the pathway of archaeology. So I was like fascinated by this stuff. And I was like, I don't understand why this information is not being shouted from the rooftops of every synagogue and every church. I don't understand. Are pastors not familiar with this? Is it that they just get theological training, but they don't know the archaeology? So in any event, I was enraptured. I was captivated by all this. Then along comes several months later, October 7th.
Yes.
And I realize I'm looking at something really big. And I'm realizing also that it's part of a debate that biblical archaeology has some relevance to. Whose land is this really? Like, who are the original, or you could even say aboriginal inhabitants of this land? Well, we can tell this by looking at what's under the ground. And so I set about to sort of make the film. And then along comes Jonathan Cahn, and he adds the prophetic dimension. So I realized with archaeology, I got the past. With October 7th and the war, I got the present. Now with Jonathan Cahn, I got the future. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out how to weave this together into a tapestry that will make a really powerful film. And I think we've done it.
When you went to Israel, because the first time I went was in 2022 as well as the first time I went to Israel. And what about the archaeological finds? Did you have one that really kind of cut you to the core that you learned about?
Well, there are something like 3 or 4 dozen major finds of biblical mm-hmm. archaeology. Now, some of those go further back. Some of them came in the middle of the last century, shortly after the founding of Israel, when you really could start doing archaeology in a major way on that land. But I'll mention one which I think you'll find very interesting, not because it actually involves a major character in the Bible, but because it involves a very minor character. Now, the reason this is significant is because really for centuries, going back to the Enlightenment, skeptics would say that the Bible is not only largely made up, but it's written hundreds of years later after these events. Now, the point I want to make is that when you have a minor character in the Bible, nobody 300 or 400 years later would have known that, yes. right? I'm thinking of somebody like the royal steward of King Hosea. So here is a scene out of the book of Jeremiah where the king, his name is Zedekiah, he's a little worried because Jeremiah is preaching against him. Jeremiah is like, the king better reform his ways or there's going to be an invasion from the north, which comes later from the Babylonians.
It does.
But Zedekiah basically rounds up two of his sidekicks, a guy named Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, and another guy, Gedaliah, son of Pashur. And he goes, go keep an eye on this Jeremiah fellow. Make sure he's not causing me too much trouble. So these are like, you could call them cameo appearances in the Bible. And then that's the end of it. Fast forward 2,500 years, and recently they're digging around the city of David, right in the area mm-hmm. of the old city of David, and they unearth all these clay seals. So the seals were used to seal letters. The letters are mm-hmm. gone, but the seals remain. They've been hardened over time. And one of them, you look at it, and it is Jehukal, son of Shelemiah. And you look at the other one, Gedaliah, son of Pashur. Wow, suddenly you realize these were real people, and mm-hmm. that means there was really a Jeremiah, and there really was a Zedekiah, and the Bible, you can dispute the theology of it, you can question the miracles if you want, but the historicity of the Bible is being astoundingly corroborated.
It absolutely is. I 100% agree with that. So let me ask you as well, how is the ancestral homeland of the Jews so important to the world today, and what does it symbolize?
I'll put it in the widest possible context. There are really only 3 ways to get title deeds to a land anywhere in the world. If you think about how do people get the claim, this is my land, there are only 3 ways that can happen. 1, you were there first. You were the original inhabitants. 2, you got it by some negotiation or treaty. Somebody kind of gave it to you. You made a deal. And 3, you conquered it. Conquest. Mm-hmm. If you look at all the borders in the world today, I cannot think of a single country that didn't get its land by one of these ways.
Exactly. Now,
sometimes there's a clash, right? The American mm-hmm. Indians were the first in the Americas. They've got the original inhabitancy card. But then you could say that the tribes were taking the land one from the other. Eventually, the white man took it from them. So the mm-hmm. conquest card belongs to the white man. All right. So it's a dispute. Now let's look at Israel. Who was there first? The Jews. Check. Mm-hmm. Who got the land from the United Nations right after World War II? The Jews. Mm-hmm. And 3, who had 3 wars, 48, 67, and 73, to hold the land by conquest? The Jews. So Israel checks all the boxes. It is in that sense, it has the strongest claim to legitimacy of any country I know on the planet Earth.
Exactly. And also, you know, if we go back into the book of Genesis, it is spelled out in a way between Abraham and Almighty God, who was Abram at that point, the covenant and the boundaries of that land, correct?
Yeah. Now, the key point here, and this is where mm-hmm. I'm now in a big fight with the Tucker Carlsons and the Candace Owenses of the mm-hmm. world and many others, they are saying under the banner of so-called replacement theology that when Jesus came, the New Testament replaced the old and the New Covenant invalidated the old, and none of those promises to the Jews matter anymore. And to the degree God even made them, he took them back because the Jews didn't behave themselves. Now, I think that this is not only politically pernicious, but it's actually completely heretical from the point of view of mainstream Christianity, not from the point of view of some narrow Protestant dispensationalism, from the point of view of the agreed upon Christianity, what C.S. Lewis calls mere Christianity. Look, you cannot kick out the Old Testament, right? Because if you kick out the Old Testament, you're kicking out Genesis, creation, you're kicking out the Exodus, Moses, you're kicking out the Ten Commandments, you're kicking out the Psalms, you're kicking out the book of Job and its discussion of suffering, the Hebrew prophets. So you're kicking out really Christianity itself. Jesus would be appalled by this idea that you could somehow, you know, throw out the ladder that you climbed on, namely the Old Testament. That's why the Old Testament is in the Bible, because it is the foundation for the new. And Christians are, as often said, engrafted into the old covenant. Mm-hmm. Jesus fulfills it. He doesn't sort of cancel it. So this is a very interesting way in which really theology has sort of sprung into our current political debate. Yes. But what worries me is that this replacement theology is being used as a justification to turn against Israel, to turn against the Jews, in fact, to make them the villains of what's going on in the Middle East, even though they are quite obviously the heroes.
You know, Jesus Christ himself said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And the Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New Testament is built. And if you don't have the foundation, a house can't stand.
So not only that, but I put it a little different way. Our Western civilization is built on two pillars. Athens, which represents classical reason. And from Athens, we get the Greek theater. We get Socrates, the idea of free speech and questioning. We get the idea of Pericles and democracy. But the other pillar, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem refers to the Hebrew prophets. Mm-hmm. It refers to the idea of an external moral code. It refers to creation itself. So the point being that if one of these two pillars collapses, our civilization goes to ruins. You cannot hold the building up with one pillar alone. And yet in some ways, what we're seeing now, I think, is an attack on Jerusalem. I'm not surprised to see it coming from the political left, which is very secular, which is in some ways rather blatantly anti-Christian.
Yes.
What is more disturbing is it's coming from the right, from people who claim to be putative Christians.
You know, I'll make a quick comment about that before we move on. But it almost seems to me, you know, the whole dynamic between when King Saul began to lose his mind and he started to chase David, he turned on his own. Right.
Yep.
He turned on his own. He lost his mind. He started a smear campaign. He started trying to undermine everything about David. And we watch this unfold in the book of Samuel, 1st, 2nd Samuel. So it seems to me it's following something similar.
You know, I think this is right. You know, in a very odd statement that Tucker himself made, he said that he had been attacked by a demon. Now, he said the demon scratched him. So he's not talking about just I had a dream. He's talking about the fact that he was physically attacked by a demon that kind of got him in a way. And so the question I had, I was on Roseanne Barr's podcast recently, and she's like, you know, she says, people keep saying the guy's paid by Qatar and so on. She goes, but I think that the demon got him. And then Roseanne goes, I know the name of the demon. I'm like, Roseanne, what is the name of the demon? And so she gave me some name. But what I'm getting at here is I don't know the motivation of all this. I have a hard time because I know these people. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know Candace Owens. I know Tucker Carlson. But what I do know is the effect of what they're doing. And a lot of young people these days, you know, they're already angry. They feel dislocated. Many of them feel they don't have the American dream their parents did. And some of them have realized that, you know, that the CDC lied to us, the FBI lied to us. So they have a kind of chronic distrust of institutions. So these people are now ripe to be manipulated by some Pied Pipers who I think are really taking them straight to the edge of the precipice. So one reason I've decided to speak out in a very straightforward way against all this is because I think it is politically bad. It's bad for our country. It's even bad for Trump and for the MAGA movement. But it's certainly a bad in the sense that it's creating a certain rift inside of Christianity. And it's causing a lot of confusion and doubt over the clear meaning of the Bible.
And we know who is the author of confusion.
That is true. And in fact, that is, you know, that's the dragon, right? The dragon and the dragon prophecy is nothing more than a reference to Satan himself. And that's a point that I think gets missed, because if you think about October 7th, the brutality of it, the excess of it, I think defies human explanation. I think even with anti-Semitism, which I've thought about over the years, I've often thought it has its roots in human envy. The Jews are a very successful group. And I'm sure that's an element of it. But as I got making this film, I realized that that is actually not a sufficient explanation of it, because there is a supernatural dimension to it that needs to be added on to the so-called natural explanation. And so in this film, by the way, the website is thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. You can watch it in streaming. You can get DVDs. Mm-hmm. So we're making it easy for people to watch. And it's on multiple platforms. But go to the website and you can watch it. I think it's very important to emphasize this, this clash between good and evil and between God and the devil that has been raging since, not just since the Garden of Eden, since the beginning of time with the rebel angels in heaven.
Absolutely, it has. That was the first rebellion that was ever led.
Exactly. That's right. That's when the enmity between God and Satan was established. And in some ways, I think it's been playing out on the entire landscape of history. But I think this is where Jonathan Cahn is very insightful. He goes, yes, but as we approach the end times, we're beginning to see signposts. Signposts that are themselves in the Bible. And by the way, you know, in the film, we don't go into the nitty gritty of it. I know there are some people who are the post-millennialists or the pre-millennialists. They want to give you a kind of chronological account of what's going to happen. We don't do that. But what we do say is there are certain like big signs. So one of the big signs is that there's going to be, for example, a surprising and intense rise of hatred of the Jews. Check. Right. Another sign is you're going to see a surprising and intensive persecution of the Christians. Check. And then you notice that it's coming from the same people, which is to say the global jihadis. And so you begin to say, all right, you know, we don't think the Antichrist is here yet, or at least we don't know. But what Jonathan Cahn says, the spirit of the Antichrist comes first.
It does.
Before the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of Antichrist and lawlessness goes to work ahead of time to pave the way and make the man straight, the path straight for the man of sin, the Antichrist, to arise.
This is all exactly right. Look, the thing for me, Amanda, is my earlier films have really been political. They've been cultural and historical as well, but they haven't had this kind of spiritual dimension. And we truly believe that this film has been God-led in the sense that a number of elements came together even for us to make the film. And we were able to kind of get into Israel for 9 days. There was a sort of a temporary pause in the war. We filmed the movie. As soon as we left, the airport was closed. Rockets are flying, you know. And so when you have about a dozen things like that happen to you, you begin to realize, you know, there's something else kind of at work here.
Amen to that. Now, while you were in Israel, let me ask you, what was your key takeaway from your interview with the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu?
I asked him straight out, and I think I surprised him a little bit. I go, like, what's your take on Jesus, right? And he was
For you, Mr. Dinesh.
Right, because, you know, I thought, isn't it interesting to ask the Jewish head of a Jewish state to comment on the most famous Jew of all time? And to his credit, Netanyahu took it in stride. And he gave really this wonderful exposition of how Jesus is like one of us, meaning he's like, Jesus is Jewish. You know, his name is Yeshua. His mom is Miriam. His dad is Yosef. You know, these are Hebrew names. Jesus was like, he ritually bathed in the pool of Siloam. He walked in the pilgrimage road to the temple. So I think what Netanyahu was getting at is like, the people who say Jesus was a Palestinian or Jesus was not a Jew, he's like, this is ridiculous. Not only that, but I took it in also that for the first time, I think what's happening is that people like Netanyahu are realizing that the Christians are their allies. And they need to say that, and they need to be more accepting and welcoming. They don't have to theologically endorse Jesus, but what they're doing is they're historically endorsing him, and they're claiming him culturally as one of their own. So to me, that was very significant.
That is. And you know what? Good for Benjamin Netanyahu that he was willing to say that, honestly, because that's huge, first of all. And secondly, newsflash here today, when Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, walked the earth, he was Jewish.
He was Jewish, and he, he preached out of what? I mean, what was the scriptures that he taught out? The Torah. He didn't have the New Testament. You know, he wasn't preaching out of Paul's letter to the Romans. That was written decades later. So Jesus remained in that Jewish world. And I think another significant point is this, and that is in the Acts of the Apostles, you see that Paul had a meeting with the apostles to discuss that when Gentiles accept the Messiah, do they have to become Jewish? And the answer was, they do not have to keep circumcision. They don't have to necessarily keep the Sabbath. Or follow the Jewish holidays, but guess what? They have to keep all the rest of it. So they have to keep the commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to follow the teachings of the prophets. So the Old Testament, with this kind of minor adjustment, is otherwise incorporated in its entirety into Christianity. And again, we're not talking about some argument between covenant and dispensational theology. We are talking about the absolute mainstream road of Christianity, by the way, Catholic and Protestant, going back 2,000 years.
That's right. In fact, Paul got into a debate with Peter. This is recorded in the New Testament over this very thing you're talking about.
Exactly. And many of the people on social media know none of this. And so they make these preposterous statements. They'll quote a line out of the New Testament. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And their basic conclusion from that is that all the Old Testament figures must be in hell because, you know, Abraham's in hell, Moses is in hell. I mean, think about both the ignorance and the perverse mentality to say such nonsense. And yet we're living in a time of great historical amnesia, of great theological ignorance. So look, lay people like me are stepping up for one reason, and that is, I think we need to hear a lot more from the pastors on this. Amen. This is what they're supposed to be teaching in the churches, and now there's a big national and international debate raging about it. They need to jump into it and straighten out some people.
I think we do, and we have to go deeper in the Word, in understanding the Word of God, and understanding how the Old Testament and the New Testament seamlessly go together. And really reading, when you read a scripture, you really should read the scripture before it and the scripture after it as well. Because,
without a doubt, this is absolutely right. Amanda, I think I'm going to have to scoot.
Yeah, okay.
But if I can just remind people, the film is The Dragon's Prophecy. The website, thedragonsprophecyfilm.com, and check it out. Order DVDs, see it with your friends. I think you'll see this is really a spiritually very edifying film. It takes you into some dark places. October 7th, it's basically the manual of the devil is unfurled in this film. But at the same time, it doesn't leave you that way. It leaves you with a call to action and a call to choose the side of good over evil, to choose the side of God over the dragon.
Amen. That is right. We are on the side of Almighty God. So true, Mr. Dinesh. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
God bless you. And that was Mr. Dinesh D'Souza talking about The Dragon's Prophecy. You can go to thedragonsprophecyfilm.com to learn more. God bless everyone. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Keep the faith. God bless.